Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zen Technologies Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining this Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call of Zen Technologies Limited. The results and investor updates have been emailed to you and are also available on the stock exchanges. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Ashok Atluri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Afzal Malkani, Chief Financial Officer, and Mrs. Shilpa Chaudhary, Whole-Time Director. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of our performance, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we've mentioned in our annual reports, which you'll find on our company's website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Atluri. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good evening, all fellow owners of the company and fellow potential owners of the company. Welcome to the last quarter 23 results and the full year earnings conference call of the company. You know, it's been quite a gratifying year, and we have recorded the highest ever revenue in the history of the company. And we see that the momentum has just started, and it will continue to the future. During the year, during the quarter, the fourth quarter, we secured new orders worth about 141 crores and 42 crores. And, you know, orders in hand improved to 473 crores. We have also participated in large bids, and we think that we have a possibility of winning some of them. But everything will become clear during the first half of this financial year. These are significant. If these orders come through, they are significant orders, and in anticipation, we are taking some look at the key functions like the supply chain, procurement, production planning to ensure the operationally we are able to execute the orders when we get them. You know, and also we have started recruiting very high-end you know, technical manpower and non-technical manpower. So as owners of the company, if you have some good resources to be recommended, please do recommend. That will be very helpful to us. Again, we do feel that Zen's employees were underappreciated lot, and to correct that, we started giving ESOPs to them this year, and we expect more ESOPs to be given to them. And this is again, you know, without shortchanging the shareholders in the sense that we are not issuing new shares. We are actually buying from the cash that we have from the market and giving it to them so that, you know, the existing shareholders' proportion of ownership doesn't get diluted. So, and you know, having said that, coming to the liquidity position, we have a very, very strong liquidity position. We will be able to allow not only execute these orders, but also plan our future growth plans like export market, more R&D, and severe investment into anti-drone system. So all these are, as of now, completely under control because of our strong financial position. You know, so one of the questions that I've been asked is, you know, will you be raising further money? Again, the answer to that is no, we will not raise any money for these things unless it, you know, unforeseen acquisition comes, a large acquisition comes, which makes sense to us. Again, I'm very, very antithetical to any kind of acquisition, just for the sake of acquisition. If it makes sense, you not in the cliche sense, but the real sense, that parts are greater than the whole, the whole is greater than the part, if they make us better, we'll definitely look after, look into that. Again, in the current scenario, there was a simulation framework we have been talking about in September 21, the Government of India issued that, saying that the conventional training should be moved to simulator training for various reasons. And we think that in addition, not only efficiency, not only better soldiers, but it makes sustainable sense also, in the sense that you use reserve, it's more environment friendly, you don't have, you save a lot of money. You also, and also, there is lot of, you know, the army is also talking about becoming sustainable army. So this is the way to become, for an army to become sustainable. No pollution, no traveling to the ranges, you know, and the saving of the ammunition. So it's all win-win when the people use, and the simulation framework is exactly giving that push, and we can see it is happening. In addition to that, the Government of India is also looking at emergency procurement plan, which is also helping in preparedness of the country. So, again, we are looking at, you know, our immediate plan is that how do we fully exploit the leadership position in the simulators that we already have for the simulators. And there are many simulators for which there is still not demand created. So we are interacting with the armed forces and seeing which of the simulators they would like to do. So that is the second part of that. And the third is, of course, we really want to invest a lot of money into anti-drone development. We are absolutely, as on today, we feel we are the number one in India. Can we grow our effort? That is not the plan. We don't want to supply the Indian Army with number one in India. We want to supply them the anti-drone system that is number one in the world. In a worst case, number two. So we will need to invest a lot of resources to be globally a dominant player in anti-drone system. That is the third area of focus. And, of course, you know, we are also looking at exports market, which are, you know, including Middle East, Africa, and CIS countries. But and we do expect that our annual maintenance turnover revenues will grow significantly after 2 years, especially given the flow of orders that are coming. It will be significant for us. So, yeah, again, R&D, we have spent the highest ever this year, but, you know, we expect that that to catch pace, given the fact that anti-drone and export areas, export customization will be area of focus for us. So, you know, so one of the question is that, you know, we were expecting the, very frankly, you know, the results are very gratifying. We were expecting the results to be much more than this. And the reason is that there is a spillover of the execution into the Q1. So I think significant part of the unexpected order will be executed in Q1. So Q1 that way is expected to be a little strong quarter for us. But overall, we are very, very hopeful about the whole year. And we said that 470 crores of orders are pending as on date. And we expect that, about 350 to 400 crores off of that may be executed during the year. So this order book position and these developments set the stage for a robust start for the next financial year. And we are extremely thrilled to build on this momentum. In conclusion, I would like to say that, you know, a great set of Zenith to work with a great financial position, fantastic innovations happening as we speak, including getting into augmented reality, extended reality, mixed reality, and a very, very focused R&D in the area of anti-drone systems. So all these areas are, you know, we have never been so excited in our 3 decades of our existence, even though 2 decades of our listing since 2000 and 2000 we got listed at, at par, we had won at par. Now, after 10 to 1, we are still doing well. So with this, I would like to hand it over to Afzal to, just go through the highlights of the year and the quarter, and then we'll open up for question and answer. Afzal, could you take over from here?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, so good evening, everyone. As you just heard from our CMD, we are thrilled to report that we have delivered an excellent quarter on multiple fronts, be it quarterly or year-over-year growth during Q4 FY23 and the fiscal 2023, with our highest ever revenue achieved. I am pleased to provide you with a financial update of our performance on both standalone and consolidated basis. Let me begin with our standalone financials highlights for the fiscal 2023. We witnessed a revenue growth of 200% on YOY basis, reaching to rupees 161.44 crores. Our EBITDA grew by 701% on YOY basis to rupees 58.33 crores, and we saw a remarkable PAT growth of 1763% on YOY basis, which was rupees 37.64 crores. Out of our revenue, rupees 125.54 crores were contributed by the sale of equipment, while rupees 35.90 crores came from our AMC business. In terms of equipment sales, we witnessed a split of rupees 55.5 crores and rupees 70 crores between export and domestic respectively. Moving on to the standalone financial highlights for Q4 FY23, we achieved a revenue growth of 364% on YOY, reaching to rupees 74.14 crores. Our EBITDA grew by 960% on YOY basis, reaching to rupees 26.5 crores. And we recorded a PAT growth of 1133% on YOY, which was rupees 17.27 crores. Out of our revenues for Q4, rupees 66.28 crores were contributed by the sale of equipment, while rupees 7.86 crores came from our AMC business. In terms of equipment sales, we witnessed a split of rupees 31.22 crores and rupees 35 crores between export and domestic respectively. Moving on to our consolidated financial highlight for the fiscal year 2023, we achieved a revenue growth of 213% compared to FY22 and achieved a revenue of rupees 218.85 crores. Our EBITDA grew by 100% on YOY, reaching to rupees 79.86 crores, and we saw a PAT growth of 2047% and achieved a PAT of rupees 42.74 crores after adjusting for non-controlling interests. Now, in conclusion, we are pleased with our financial performance and remain optimistic about our growth prospects for the coming year. With that, we conclude our opening remarks, and we would now like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just a few questions from my side. To start with, could you give us any kind of guidance on, you know, revenue growth and margins for the next 2 to 3 fiscals? And if possible, if you could split that, you know, either growth projections by equipment sales and by AMC. That's my first question.
Okay, fine. We have given, as I gave the overall projection that, you know, number one, the first quarter is going to be strong because there is a spillover. And then we have about 400, you know, we expect 350 to 400 crores kind of turnover this year. And let us see how it turns out. But that's the pending order size now currently with us. So that's a very broad guidance that we are giving. In terms of AMC, we expect the AMC to grow to, I think they are about 40 crores now. They may grow to about, around 50 crores or so. But as and when these current orders get executed, the ones which have been executed and they get executed, typically after 2 or 3 years, depending on the warranty of the period, they start generating revenues anywhere between 8 to 11%, depending on what the AMC is. So we think that this 150 and 400 crores, about 50 crores of additional AMC may be generated third year onwards from this. So that will be a big, that will be a very good thing in the sense that not only our overhead will be taken care of, but we'll also probably make a profit just out of the services that we are entering. Yeah, next question.
Understood. Thank you so much. My next question is regarding, so just to get an understanding, so in your revenue split on the presentation, you give AMC versus equipment for your standalone. In your at consolidated level where we have the subsidiary revenue, is there a split of equipment and AMC within that, or what kind of revenue is generated through the subsidiaries? Is it comparable to what the standalone business generates?
This is I think, completely equipment, but I'll check with Abzal whether there is any AMC in that. Abzal, can you clarify?
My question was, within the subsidiaries, is there a split between equipment sales and AMC, or is it, you know, all under equipment? If you could provide that breakdown.
Yeah, 100% equipment. Yeah.
Okay, got it. And one more. This, compared to FY21 and FY22, where we saw 80% plus gross margins, in FY23 we're seeing gross margin come down to about 73%. Is there any reason for this sharp decline? Is it maybe because equipment sales have gone up versus what the share of AMC was earlier? Or could you please give some color on that?
Your insight is very right, Shirov. I think because that was only AMC. AMC, there is not much equipment cost, but mostly the manpower cost which are there. So you are right, absolutely, that, because of the AMC revenues, as a percentage was very high in 21-22, but subsequently it's equipment that has taken over, and so the gross margins have come down.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. And my last question, if I'm allowed, this increase in bandwidth and manpower that you are planning to do, to deal with the additional business, how is that going to affect your cost profile and margins? Are we going to see higher employee costs and higher other expenses as a percentage of sales going forward?
No. It will definitely not be negative. I think we will be able to maintain the same margins. But you're right that margins are under pressure because all the input costs have gone up. But our thinking is that we should be able to manage this up to 45% of margins, operating margins. Yeah.
Oh, did you say 35 or 40?
35%? 35.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue. Let the others ask questions. Thank you.
Sure. Always welcome. Yeah. Great questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madan Shah from Moneybee Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations for an amazing set of numbers. You mentioned that there was some spillover of the orders from current quarter to the next quarter. Can you quantify that number?
So, I think there would be about 140 crores or so, I think, that was a spillover for some company.
Oh, okay. So this order we are expecting to execute during the Q1.
During the H1, definitely. During the H1, definitely. But mostly in Q1, yeah.
Okay, understood. Also, we were executing a large order for the anti-drone. So, I believe around 90 odd crores remains unexecuted. Is this the same order or is it a different order that you are referring to?
No, it's the same order. Same order. Yeah.
Okay. Understood. My next question was on the R&D. So, we spent roughly 19 odd crores last year and going forward also. So, just wanted to understand whether this R&D is primarily towards the simulators or towards the anti-drone, and what are we thinking over there?
So, this is primarily, it's a mix of both anti-drone and simulators expenditure. But we expect the anti-drone systems to really, really pump up in the next few months and years. ADS will be there. And, of course, simulator expenditure, R&D expenditure will also increase because the government of India is moving towards new equipment, mostly made in India kind of equipment. So we will have to make newer simulators for the new equipment that are coming in. And the third thing is we are participating in international bids where export equipment will require customization of our simulators to match their tanks or their artillery or their weapons. So, yes, the R&D we expect is going to go up, yeah.
Okay, I understand. So, primarily, the R&D spend is happening on the anti-drone side where in the hard kill, we try and integrate our system with their hard kill equipment.
Yeah, so hard kill investment is also there. So the expenditure is happening in two fronts. One is Zen is doing some expenditure, and our subsidiary is also doing some expenditure. So the part of the what we are doing is reflected in this. And yes, of course, the one major area is integration of hard kill. We have done partially the hard kill integration for a couple of weapons, but we want to expand it to other hard kill options also.
Next question was on, in our history, we haven't executed such large orders. So wanted to understand how are we gearing our manufacturing partners and our supply chain to, you know, execute these large orders that we're anticipating going forward?
So, you know, the thing is, very frankly, last year we did about 60 crores. This year we did about 160 crores, and, you know, we have almost executed the other part also. So from, 160 to 200 crores to another 300 or 400 crores, we don't think it will be a big challenge. But what we are doing is we are actually ramping up the supply chain very much so that, you know, even if extraordinary amount of order, instead of something even 2x of what we are expecting comes, we should be able to handle it. That is what, you know, today we are, you know, everything is being looked in deeply, where are the bottlenecks, moving the bottlenecks. You know, this is our dream situation. You know, dream situation is sales should not be a bottleneck and some supply chain should be the bottleneck. If that situation comes, we would be very happy about it. But secondly, we are preparing because operation challenges should be smooth. So, you know, we are going through a lot of exercises of, you know, what are the possible operational bottlenecks, and we are trying to ease them. And we feel confident that when the orders come, we should be able to execute it.
Understood. And lastly, we've seen very good cash flows, but I understand that based on the increase in the other liability items, these are some large cash advances that we've received. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, so there is some one thing is there is a cash advance that we have received, but the fact is that we have not recognized the revenue because there are certain clauses in the contract that need to trigger to recognize the revenue. So our part of the liability is over, but, you know, it is not recognized. I would say that is the difference. Yeah. But there is no additional expenditure to be incurred in that regard.
Understood. So can you quantify what sort of numbers of these advances that you have received?
So it's about 70 crores we have received. So 70 crores has to be recognized now.
Okay, understood. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh M. from Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, team, for a good set of numbers. I just have one question. Are we seeing any traction on the Agnipath scheme, and have we received any orders under that scheme?
There is a huge demand for the because of the Agnipath, because government wants to efficiently reduce the thing, and we are expecting some orders in that regard also. So, but it may happen in the next few months. Yeah. So, but that's a big plus for us because government wants to give better training in a shorter frame of mind, and the only way this shorter frame of time can be better training can be executed is through simulators. And so we have a lot of inquiries for asking for the simulators. So it is definitely giving us a big an advantage as we go further.
Got it. Can you quantify the inquiries which you are getting as of now, like in few crores? What would be that quantum if it translates?
It'd be a couple of hundred crores. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Fine. Thank you so much. I'll get back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, sir, on a great set of numbers. Hope I'm audible. Hello?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are audible.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. So, in terms of... I'm a bit new to the company. So I just want to know, as our revenue increases, how do we have to see capacity in terms of our industry? So would there be a proportional increase in expense, or we'll be able to benefit from leverage? Or, you know, could you just help me get a bit about our capacity and how much is it capable of handling right now, and what additional cost would we need to incur?
So, when you look at a company like Zen, we are actually, bill of materials goes somewhere between 20 to 35 on an average, 20% to 35% of the contract cost. And the remaining 65 to 80% on an average, they reflect the IP content of the product, which is basically software. So, you know, again, we always believe that we should be the most value-driven company in the world as far as training simulators and antidrone systems are concerned. Do we give them our customer the maximum value at the most competitive price? So because our competition is from foreign overseas companies mostly, we get a good margin on this. So to your question, will these kind of margins sustain into the future? We do think that these margins are sustainable into the future. Do we get any fixed expenses? Because fixed expenses are limited, we'll get some leverage. We may get some leverage. We do think that there will be leverage. But again, you know, we are being extra cautious and conservative and saying that we will sustain these operating margins, and but in all probability, they may improve.
Okay, that helps a lot, sir. And our R&D would also be on the similar lines, like as a percentage of revenue, or that might, you know, increase a bit in the might increase right now in a couple of years because we want to go a bit more on research.
So, you know, one thing about Zen's shareholder is, you know, I should potentially warn the people who want smooth earnings and, you know, predictable revenues and all that. So that's why we don't have many institutional investors in our company. Zen shareholders, they know that Zen management is very opportunistic. They will, if they find a good opportunity, they will invest a lot of R&D. If there is no opportunity, they will relax and they will not hurry up on the thing. So we never work as a percentage, which a lot of, you know, large companies do. That is, the sales is, I must spend 8%. Whether there is an opportunity or not, they spend the 8%. Not in Zen. In Zen, we will be very, very careful that if there is a huge opportunity, we will spend a lot. But if there is no opportunity, we will not spend. But as indicated now to you, you know, we are looking at the area of, you know, exports, anti-drone systems, and more products from India emerging, simulators for those three things. And we expect R&D to go up. But again, it will never be as a percentage because we have something, 8% has to be spent to show to some, in some presentation to someone, no. But we think, yes, we will be spending. So we expect the R&D expense to go up, but it never as a percentage of sales.
Okay, that helps me a lot, sir. And if I may, just one more question. So we were talking about a lot of orders that we've applied for. So any value, you know, how much we've applied for and what could be our win rate, something along those lines would help a lot.
So it's a few hundred crores, but, you know, I would just wait for, you know, the things to work out, and you have to just wait for a couple of months, you know, we'll start, the results will start trickling down, and we feel that our fellow owners will be gratified with the results, yeah.
Okay, that helps a lot. And sorry, sir, one more question. Like, in terms of our orders, so how much time do we really, we could complete whatever we have in orders in terms of equipment in a year, right? Like, on an average, what would be the time?
Yeah, on an average, between 1 year to 18 months should be enough for us, yeah. So only in very rare case, we have gone beyond 18 months.
Okay. Thank you, sir, so much for your response and all the best. Looking forward to great numbers. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dustin. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Divya Raj from RD Investment. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for good number. Can you focus in the top me total order book? Any exhibition date?
Sorry, Divya, I missed you. What you said, I'm sorry. Please, could you come again?
Any deadline for exiting order book?
So, yeah, so this 470 crores that we are saying, out of that, 350 to 400 crores needs to be, will be executed in the, during the current year, the current financial year, yeah. We are expecting it to execute during the current financial year.
And any upcoming order in our hand, yeah, any pending order?
So, we have bid for a few hundred crores worth of bids from the government, and we expect those, even if there is some exports also in this, we expect the result to come in the first half of the year, this financial year. they may come earlier than we expect, or maybe, but anyway, not beyond September 30th is what our calculation says. And yeah, so we'll come to know as in, and again, you know, when the moment we get it, we before we realize it is in the stock exchange. So please keep an alert on stock exchange, and you will be the first to know.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So congratulations on good set of numbers. So wanted to know what would be our revenue from Indian government and entities currently as a percentage of total revenue?
So Indian government, I would leave it to Abdul to answer it, but I'll add if you... Abdul, can you say how much is the Indian government revenue out of the 160 crores?
Yeah, out of the 160 crore rupees, if we see our domestic revenue is about 70 crore rupees. So almost 50% revenue is coming from the domestic market. Out of this 70 crores, we can say that 85% to 90% is from the government.
But even the AMC revenues are from the government of India, no? The 35 crores, whatever it is.
Yes, apart from that, apart from the equipment, yes, AMC revenue is also from the government. So we can say that from 70 crore for the equipment and 35 crore rupees for the AMC. So total approximately out of 105 crore rupees, I think approximately 85 to 90% we can say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Understood. Yeah. And, sir, on the AMC side, we are planning to scale up to 40 to 50 crores of revenue. Currently, the order book stands at around 146. And if I'm not wrong, these are executable over a period of 5 years, right?
So it is like this. You know, I think they're typically skewed towards, you know, I would say it's not exactly divided by five. It will be divided by, you know, because so out of 5 years, I might have executed 2 years. So they may be having only 3 years of runway. So I think towards the fifth year, it will taper down a bit. But yeah, but altogether, yeah, it is executable over 5 hours, but not divided by five. It will be a little higher in the beginning, and as we go down, it will be lower.
Okay. And what would be the order, anti-drone order value which we are going to execute, total order value?
So total order value is around 150 crores. So another 90 crores is unexecuted, which we expect to execute now.
So lastly, we had been talking a lot on, R&D and likes. So as per my understanding in defense, generally the companies, other companies, private companies actually are incurring development costs and they are generally getting reimbursed by DRDO. Though they won't have an exclusive IP for that, but still they have these sort of models. So in your... since you are an industry veteran, so in your perspective, which is a better model and why have we adopted to go for a upfront R&D model, your views on it?
Okay, very quickly, you know, you touched upon a subject which is a little deeper, but I'll try to run it down in maybe 2-3 minutes. You know, when we look at the, you know, a lot of people talk about Make in India and all that, and we always talk about you know, Make in India is a big thing. But when you look at countries like, you know, products like Apple, you know that the cost of material for a $1,000 Apple phone, the bill of material is $245. You know how much does Foxconn charge for a $1,000? How much does it charge Apple? Are you aware of that?
No.
Take a guess.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, I'm not aware.
So Apple charges about $5. So you know, Make in India, Make in China content of $5 of Apple is only 0.5%, not even 1%. So you know, so to make the manufacturing aspect is very less part of this. The $750 that Apple gets, of course, there are other costs, but the $750 that Apple gets is because it owns the IP of the product. So the IP content is very, very important. So, you know, very early, we had decided that we don't want to be the manufacturer of just the manufacturer of the product. In fact, we will outsource the manufacturing. So in the whole supply chain, when you look at R&D, engineering, manufacturing, you know, procurement, delivery, installation, after-sales maintenance, all the sectors are owned by except manufacturing, which we outsource in to Hyderabad, other vendors, who are much more capable than. So so 2 years or so. So R&D has been a way to capture more value. And again, when you own the IP, your ability to capture more value is there. And second thing is, when you collaborate with a company, DRDO is absolutely a great organization, but they are designing the product and they are giving you the design and they are asking you to manufacture it. Sometimes the design ownership is with them, but this is a very good model they have called DCPP, where they will, earlier, they could designate anybody as manufacturer, but now they are saying if they sign this DCPP, they will make you the production partner. But again, the point is, the cost, everything is maintained. But next time you want to upgrade yourself, how will you upgrade? So our thinking is this, that, you know, when we own the IP, when we do the design, we are evolving at a, you know, at an insane rate. Every 3 months, the product is being improved. But for an organization like DRDO, that rate of improvement is not possible. So, and again, you know, we never think, never, ever, ever under the delusion that we are competing with Indian partners for an Indian order. You always think we have to deliver world-class product to our Indian government. So what do we do that? So that is the reason we compete with the best in the world, and we have been in simulator, we have got it. Again, in drone, we are still not there. We will be there in 3 to 5 years. But I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah, that was great, sir. Thanks a lot, and all the rest.
Yeah, thanks, Akshay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Rathi from CWC. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, please proceed.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. Actually, I just wanted to understand a couple of things better for the quarter results, right? So one was the employee expenses, what we see now, what we used to do, 7-8 crores a quarter, has moved up substantially to 13.5 crore, right? So is there something which is one time in this expense, or is this the new run rate which should continue into the future? How should we think about this?
Sorry, Gautam, what is this? What is that which was 7 crores became 13 crores? I didn't miss that part.
Quarterly employee cost, which was 7 to 8 crores.
Yeah, yeah. It has gone up because, you know, we are executing larger orders. We need more manpower. And this we expect will go substantially up into the next year, because we will be executing larger orders and we will be requiring not only more manpower, but better manpower here, not only at the middle level, but also at the top level. We expect these costs to go up, but even if they go substantially, they still will not have a great impact on the, bottom line of the company.
So 13.5 crore, what I understand is a stable expense. Now you will add on to this as the quarters goes by, right? As you get larger orders, you believe this could move up to say 15 to 20 crores a quarter kind of number. Am I understanding it right?
Yeah, so let us assume that we go to 25 crores, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And second thing, and Atluji, just if we are roughly run rating 100 crores a year employee expenses, I'm assuming all permanent employees, right? You're getting, and where are we adding? Are we adding it for sales? Are we adding it for?
We have a lot of temporary employees. I think as of today, the temporary employees are almost 35 to 40% of our employees are contract employees. So there will be a substantial amount which will be recruited just for the orders execution. And you know, we have an incentive for these guys perform very well. We take them into the permanent role. So they have a huge incentive to work very hard. So that is what we do. Yeah, but these are not like a permanent fixed cost. They will go to 25 crores only if we are getting orders of those size.
That is very helpful. So you're basically saying that 13 crores is primarily because you executed a large amount of order, and which is why you had temporary employees. You expect these orders to, you expect the revenue to continue, which is why the employee cost will go up, and if the orders don't come through, the employee cost will normalize, right? Is that understanding correct?
Exactly. So, yeah, you are absolutely right. You are 100% right, yeah.
And just to understand better, because you said there is also some amount that you are investing in permanent employees for R&D and other opportunities. So can you just bifurcate that, right? How much of this 13.5 crores would be
investment in a structural investment in increasing your capacity versus how much would be for temporary employees?
I would say, you know, about 60% would be almost permanent and 40% would be temporary. But, you know, I'm just making a wild guess at this point in time. I could probably give you better figures. But again, the point here is, you know, we are very, very conservative. If we are, you should pray. You should actually go to Tirupati, walk up and give up your hair if you incur 25 crore expenditure.
No, we are very happy. We've been waiting for you to do this. So
you should actually celebrate that. So that's the same thing.
And just one request, Atluriji, it will be very helpful on behalf of the entire investor community. You know, if you could also, whenever you think it's right, also, you know, give out a probabilistic framework for your funnel, right? Wherein, you know, you could just give us that the large orders that you see in the funnel and what is the probability that you assign for it going forward. So it could be very helpful for us investors. Maybe you could do it every 6 months or whenever, whatever day you see it. It will be very helpful for us to track the company then.
But मैं बोल रहा हूँ आपको ना आप खरीद जाती मतलब I'm just telling you these are very very you know this number one there is a skewed 80-20 rule is very much applicable that you know 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of the order. When you do a probabilistic model, this doesn't work on these things. You know, you can give probability of some orders, but you know, but overall it doesn't work out. At least in our case, it is very difficult to do. But you know, what I want you to do is, guys, I'll lay it down on the table now. Zen is the intersection of technology, manufacturing, and defense. We have hit the sweet spot of that. If you believe in the India story, if you believe in this government, then Zen is playing out that story at this point in time. We are the biggest beneficiary of all the initiatives that this government is doing. So we think that microscopically what will happen to this, what will happen to that, the big picture is that Zen has been working for 30 years and now its time has come. We have been developing IP, and nobody used to give a damn about IP in the Indian government. But in 2016, the new initiative called ID Indigenously Designed Product to be given preference was introduced by late Manohar Parikh, God bless his soul. So now everything is being said to the players. Initially, it was all Make in India. But now what are we talking about? We are talking about Atmanirbharta. What is Atmanirbharta? Atmanirbharta is self-reliance and IP play. So government is completely changed. They know that, you know, if the companies like Hyundai, Honda are there, they may make in India, but billions of dollars of revenue royalties are going out of India. So now, as Nitin Gadkari ji said, we need to own the designs of the engines and all that. So that is what India then is. It owns the IP of all the products that we are developing. So we can go into all these models and, you know, satisfy you probabilistic. I mean, there are many packages like that will give you a tremendous feeling of, oh, my God, this is good. But anyway, I get your point, Gautam. I'll, you know, we'll try to work out. But get the big picture that, you know, this is what kind of bet is then. And I think that will be a better thing. But again, you know, you may need these kind of projections to convince some investors. Let me discuss internally with, you know, my team and get that along.
No. We fully understand what you are trying to say, and we fully understand the excitement that you are seeing in terms of the change that is happening out there. And we also understand the risk of putting these things out, because it may not play out. A lot of things can not go as per what the models say. We fully understand that, right? But just think of it from our point of view. We are completely dark. We may become slightly less dark is what we are saying. It will give us some sense of what happened. If that is the only reason, whatever you think, Dean, is the best way possible, we can definitely work with that. We are not asking for anything, but whatever you think is the best possible way to see this, we understand that. The big picture story, we fully understand.
I'm really, really am putting myself into your shoes, and I appreciate your question. But, you know, I'm just trying to give my angle of the thing. But, you know, with, now that we have raised it, let me discuss this my internally, the internal team, and try to see what kind of model can we create so that, you know, it can resonate with you. Okay. Is that all right?
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gautam. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Kumar Gupta from Prudent Invest Mart. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
First of all, my name is Rajiv Kumar Gupta, not Ajit. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I want to ask one question. That lately, the Indian Army a tender of, I think, 180 anti-drone system, portable anti-drone system, and some Indian startup won that tender. So is the competition brewing up in our anti-drone system? And is the our company also took part in that tender or not? If that is possible, so in future, is our company going facing some margin pressure on that, or why we lost that tender? Please.
Okay, Rajiv, is your question over or is there anything left?
No, my question is over. I just want to know the future of the...
So, Rajiv, let me try to understand whether let me try to rephrase your question. What you are saying is, did we participate in any tender in which a startup took the order from us? Some startup. Do you have the name of the startup with you?
I think so. It was in the name of Kernel. Some Kernel, I forgot the name. Individual Kernel who won the tender. 180 portable anti-drone system. Tender was there.
Yeah. So we don't make portable that. It was a handgun thing. It's a simple, you know, it's a very small basic thing. So we did lose that tender. So we don't make that thing. So our price was priced around the larger one that we make. So in our segment, you know, which costs between 5 to 7 crores, we don't have any competition in India, and we are very focused on that segment only. So this segment is very, very big segment. So the startup segment is a different segment. We are not, you are right about it, but this is about 2 years back you are talking about, not in the recent past. So we are in a very, very, so the spread that we are making in our area, there is nobody in the indigenously designed capability who is able to compete with us, number one. Number two, the problem with the startup market is this, that, you know, we are playing an infinite game. All the startups are playing a finite game. So what is the difference between infinite and finite is they want to do development in 1 year, 1.5 years they want to get, 2 years they want to raise money, 3 years they want to become a unicorn. So we are 30 years into the thing. We are about $300 million now. And that's in the last 2 years the growth has been there. So people know, and you know what is happening is this product requires 15 years of maintenance. Now you want to be with players. Also, the government, now the armed forces are becoming very, very careful that to who do they give the order and who are these guys able to sustain for the next 10 or 15 years. So this is not really a startup kind of field. I would say a new software package or something is different from this, where commitment of 20, 30 years is required from the player. To your question, yes, this was something we didn't want to focus on. So we quoted very high. We didn't get that. It was 2 years back. But now we have one segment very clearly defined in which we are absolutely, and again, our IP is almost 100% Indian IP. We don't do any foreign software at all in this. It is completely the safest way to do counter-drone activities. So that is, I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah. One more question. Can you please clarify about the TAM of the anti-drone system for next 5 years in India?
Sorry, come again?
The market size of the anti-drone system in India.
It should be a couple of $1 billion, yeah. We think it should be a couple of $1 billion, yeah.
Couple of $1 billion in India, because I read the market size of the total 2029 report that it would be around $12 billion of the world.
So when we talk about this thing, when we multiply, typically the size of the protection that they give is around 10 kilometers. When you do around the whole border and the sea line of the country and the key installations for this, all the nuclear installations, refineries, all the things, when you start, adding that up, you know, and you see, what are we talking about? A couple of billion dollars is 2,000 of this system. So you are there, do we require 2,000 of the system? My bet is yes, more than 2,000 systems are required, much more than that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. One more question, please.
Are we also, you know, you have set up an office in Dubai. So we are just looking for that anti-drone system there also. Is there any probability that we could find some ordering that anti-drone system from Dubai market?
No, Abu Dhabi, we have an office. So we got an order. We are executing the order currently. So that is one thing. The second thing is we are putting in export effort. We're trying to export also from, from UAE. But it will be basically orders will be from India only. So yes, we are trying for both the simulator and the anti-drone system from that. We are using that as a marketing place for our Indian products.
Okay.
For both simulators and anti-drone systems. It's not only just anti-drone, but both of them we are trying to promote globally into the market, three markets that we have talked about, Africa, Middle East, and CIS countries.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from Ionist Alpha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. Firstly, regarding AMC and the percentage of AMC of your top line, how do you see that number moving as over the next 3 to 5 years?
So, typically, when we execute the order in the current year, we give a warranty of typically 2 years, maybe very rarely 3 years. So after 3 years, the warranty kicks in. And we have seen that mostly the armed forces, et cetera, they usually take the AMC because they're very keen to keep the equipment operational. So whatever we are executing in the current year and the next year, let us say 160 plus 300, 350, whatever. So these 500 crores, let us say we, in year three from now, this is 24 year end we are talking about, by 26, 27, these are all kicking into as AMC revenue. So now we are at, let us say, 45 crores. By that time, we'll be around 9,500 crores.
Okay, so percentage, as a percentage, it may not necessarily increase because the revenue would
You should actually say that 90 crores become insignificant percentage. That's what you should pray as a shareholder. But it should become 1% because the other 99% will be 9,000 crores, right?
And in terms of anti-drone system as a percentage or as a pie, I mean, would it be sort of majority of your top line? I mean, that's how you're sort of placing out, or you feel that simulators can also contribute significant?
One thing is worldwide, you know, one thing strange that happened, two things happened. One is the Indian government moving towards this simulation framework and making it compulsory in September 21. And then the Ukraine war broke out between Russia and Ukraine. And it is a strange thing that, you know, after the war broke out, after a few months, they were furiously procuring operational equipment. Only a much deep into the war, they discovered, what are we doing? Shouldn't we be actually be trained for operating this expenditure? Then they accelerated procuring the simulator for the weapons. Because they don't know how to operate those, didn't know how to operate them. So it requires a lot of thinking, a lot of forethought that trained manpower is the key to winning a war. And the conventional training methodologies are not enough given the situation and given the urgency to train people efficiently and cost-effectively and in an environmentally friendly way in a short period of time. So yes, simulators are growing not only in India, but worldwide they're catching up at this point in time, number one. Number two, anti-drone system will become significant contributors to our revenues, especially in India we think we will become, but, you know, globally also we want to become a dominant player and really, really see that there's a lot of anti-drone systems are exported from India. But there is a question mark on that because we are doing R&D and the other people are also doing R&D. How will we come up against them? It's almost like a game theory, you know, whether they are betting on something, they are betting on something. How will it work out is a little bit of unknown. But we think we will be a significant player in anti-drone systems. With that, I would like to conclude on this. Anything else, Abhijit?
In terms of total addressable market, which one gives a, you know, higher pie? Does anti-drone gives a higher pie or simulator gives a higher pie?
So, you know, probabilistically, if I, you know, in the sense of certainty, if I see IT simulators, we are going to be a big market for us. But probabilistically, if we get a little lucky, anti-drone would be absolute category killer. I mean, it would be really dominant.
And annually, what would be the spend of simulators by the armed forces, put together Army, Air Force?
Air Force and Navy would be very, very huge. But Army, our addressable market, I think, would be about 8,000 crores. Then the addressable market.
As the annual spend on simulators that they're
I'm talking about the addressable market over the next 5 to 7 years.
5 to 7 years. So approximately 1,000 crores is what they're spending right now, and out of that, majority would be imports?
So, in the past they were not spending, but after the introduction of this simulator framework, they will start spending from this year onwards, I feel. So we will see how much they will buy from us, how much they will have to import, we'll have to see on that.
Okay, sorry to extend it by one last point. So how much have they actually spent, you know, over the years on an annual, on a per annum basis? What has been the spend?
So, you know, you can say that whatever Zen's turnover has been there, you know, approximately.
Okay, but there would be also an import component, I guess.
So, you know, so there is import component not in Indian, in the Army simulators, because Army simulators are available in India. But for example, flight simulators, naval simulators that are not made in India, they have been importing it from abroad, like flight simulators, etc.
Okay, got it. This is very helpful. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Sure, Abhijit. Looking forward. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Surya from Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please proceed, sir. Yes.
Yeah, congratulations on a great set of numbers. My only question is, like, what is the order book for our subsidiary, and is it towards equipment or ANC? And how much do we expect our subsidiaries to contribute for this current year?
So, you know, I don't think they have executed all the orders they have in hand. Abdul, do you have any figure on that?
Yeah, approximately 40 to 45 crores this, I guess.
They have order book position, 45 crores.
Yes.
Okay. So, Ajay, they have 40 to 45 crores. I think they'll definitely execute it during the year, then finish it off during the year.
And how much do we further expect the subsidiary to contribute for this
financial? The thing is, the anti-drone system that we get, they are typically partly executed by the subsidiary.
Okay,
so, you know, so the R&D was funded by Zen, but, you know, it was developed by them. They have the capability. So whatever anti-drone system we are talking about, so part of that will be executed by them. So, you know, the more anti-drone we get, the more they will be executing as part of that.
Okay, got it. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Ajay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for the great set of numbers. Couple of things which I wanted to ask. One was with regard to when we are talking about on an average 15 to 18 months of order execution timeline, should we expect a bigger order pipeline of more than 500 crores, or it would always be that order pipeline would be to the tune of 500 to 600 crores? That was question number one. Then we have something on anti-drone system. Now, this anti-drone system, since you said that a subsidiary is contributing to it, and our numbers, profit after tax, also were in consolidated, where you mentioned adjusted for non-controlling interest. So controlling interest is with whom, and how much it is taking away from us?
So, okay, let me start with your last question. Basically, you know, we have 51% of the company, controlling interest in the company. The non-controlling interest is 49%. So whatever was the profit, we reduced the profit by 49% and we just took whatever it was attributable to us in the profit, sir. Okay? So that is what. With respect to your, you know, I didn't get the question. You are saying, the, do you have the order pipeline of 500 to 600 crores and you have 18-month order execution? Yeah, sorry.
We have 473 crores of pipeline orders on
your
hand.
Yeah.
Now, you had, if I'm not wrong, you had mentioned that normal execution timeline is approximately anywhere between 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if I assume that this 473 crores should get over by in next 18 months maximum.
Yeah.
So, keeping this in mind, if we have to have a bigger order pipeline, then we, what kind of manpower strength we need to have, or else we would maintain the same order pipeline of 500 crores or 600 crores.
So I was saying that 18 months is the maximum timeline, usual maximum timeline on math. But in this case, as I have indicated earlier, that you know, out of this, if you take out the AMC, we should be able to execute the equipment order, most of the equipment order in the current year itself. That was what I was saying. And again, regarding manpower, we are trying to scale up. We are making an estimate or guesstimate. Where are the orders coming? Where do we require the strengthening to be done? Which manpower to hire? Whom to hire on our roles? Whom to hire? So all these six decisions are being taken so that when the orders do come through, we will be ready for execution of the order as fast as possible. Yeah. Ashita, have I answered your question?
Yes, sir. Mr. Ashish have left the queue. We move on to the next question.
Okay, great. Yes. Yeah.
We move on to the next question, which is from the line of Girish Gupta, a CA. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir. Sir, in 2021, I am shareholder with a very long time. In 2021, in the AGM, you are saying that we wait for 2 to 3 years, then we will change the orbit. So can we assume that we have changed our orbit?
Yeah, we are being a different orbit, yeah. But you know, this is the inter-orbit, I would say. The real orbit is a little different. So yes, we are moving it to a different orbit. And where the things are going, I think it is only intermediate stop. The actual orbit where we will settle is a little far away is what my feeling is.
Okay, sir. So how much time we have to wait?
You have to wait for I think you should get a feel about it in a few months' time.
No, we are feeling that therefore this is a specific question that I am asking, that how much time we can expect, 1 year, 2 year, or 6 months.
You should start getting a feel. And I mean, as I said, that we'll come to in 6 months, H1 will come to know about some orders. I think you'll get a feel by the end of the H1.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Atluri for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for it. Fantastic. Always, I love interacting with investors. And as you can see, in all Zen's AGMs and earnings call, we have really smart people asking smart questions. And I hope I have answered to you intelligently and intelligibly. And if you have any further questions, do get in touch with our investor relations advisor, Abhishek Mehra, Divakar Pingli, or our own CFO, Afzal Malkani. We thank you to the investors, to my current owners, and to my future owners of the company for their complete support and faith in us. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Zen Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.